How many of you, first of all, do not know me or Linda? Because I know there's been a lot of new people, and we're coming and going all summer long, mainly gone. You want to go ahead? Yep. You just pull that first one up there. Linda and I are traveling chaplains throughout the NHRA circuit and other racing organizations too. And what would you like to say, sweetheart?
Oh, just that we're very thankful that we have some of our racing friends and one of our chaplains here to be with us and support us. And that shows that we are working.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I'll just stand with
you. Okay.
Just for a minute.
You know, this is likely to be the shortest service that you've ever attended. You know, normally I've got about 30 minutes to do our opening introductions, the message, and closing. It's only a one-line verse today, by the way, so it's going to be pretty quick. Everybody's going, football. I have to get back to football here real quick, but, you know, it's been a blessing. Lynn and I have been at this church for 26 years. I've been an elder in this church, and well, not now, because we're gone all the time. Mm-hmm. But you're sitting in my pew, by the way. But that's the way it was. We always sat right here. And, you know, that's my pew, right? Did we all do that? Has somebody ever told you you're in my pew? I've had that happen when visiting other churches. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. But we came back from one of the races, and it's like, oh, okay, well, we'll move back a couple. And we'll move back a couple more the next time, and now we just sit in the back. So, many of you don't see this. You know, we also are the chaplains with Skate Church. So if you have kids that come out and want to skate, you know, started off with mainly the skateboarders where the ministry started. And, you know, so we're active, and we're gone a lot. So, you know, every season, you know, we follow the same racing schedule. It always seems to be, you know, the same races that we get to go to. Yet, every year is different. You know, we get to go to new events between our regular scheduled events. And that's when somebody goes, hey, I need somebody over here. Can you come and help us out? And it's like, yeah, love to. You know, we've been to, Randy is our hydroplane boat race chaplain. He follows, you know, the Northwest hydroplane racers, and I've been to a number of his events also. You know, so it's fun when, you know, we get invited to go to some of these other ones, and there's always something new or somebody new that we're meant to see. Like Lynn and I always say, you know, it's a God thing. You know, God leads us. You know, most of the times we do a chapel service, you know, and go to the next one there. Usually the chapel services are early in the morning. You know, normally between 7 or 7:30 is our normal time to have a chapel service. Because, you know, racing normally starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it gets kind of hard to talk over the sounds of open exhaust cars, especially when we're right next to the grandstands where everybody wants to hear all the noise they can hear. You know, and next one. And after, this just makes me cry every time. After being a racetrack chaplain for 21 years, this last race that we did was earlier this month. I did my first racetrack baptism. Yeah. Now, I've done baptisms before, but usually they're, you know, at the church. You know, we get to do that. But the way this came about was this couple was going to get married, and the lady, you know, the bride, came up. She goes, "Do you think it would be appropriate for me to be baptized before we got married, or should I wait till after?" Oh no, just do it before.
Yeah.
And we had a good long discussion, you know, about her baptism and everything, and she just wanted to make sure she did it properly, and she did. You know, she accepted Christ into her heart, and she wanted to be baptized and be equally yoked with her husband. And this was done on Saturday. We had talked on Friday. So in that meantime, I'm going, we're not at a lake. Where am I going to get a baptismal? So rummaging through the junk pile out back, you know, I talked with the trap operator. And he said, "Well, I think we got something we can use. Actually, it's worth it. Put the beer in, fill it full of ice, and put the beer in there. It's got a spigot and everything." So it's like, that's perfect. Picked it up, turned it over. It was all nice and clean inside. I was like, oh, great. You know, I hosed it out anyway, so wiped it out. I was like, okay, it's great. We set that up Friday night, and then I covered it up with Friday afternoon. Then I covered it up with a black car cover and let set, you know, in the sun. You know, so it was nice and warm for, I mean, you couldn't ask for a perfect baptism, you know. It was absolutely fantastic, and I was so pumped about that. Sorry. As a matter of fact, if you go to the next slide, if you look at Linda sitting, she's off to the side from where we were doing the baptism at, and kind of look at the sky behind her right there. Look at the flag standing straight out, and you'll see some people hustling in the background. Just some minutes earlier to that, you may have noticed in that last picture that there were nobody in the grandstands, but that grandstand was absolutely packed, and they were anxious to be able to watch the baptism too. But just before we were ready to do the baptism, they announced, "There's a large sandstorm coming. Everybody clear the area. You know, put your cars away, put down your awnings, put everything away, because you can see it coming." You know, we look down there, go to the next slide. You look down and you could see the sandstorm coming from the other end of the racetrack. Those three people really wanted to see what it was going to be like. We've been caught there before, down at the end of the track. We couldn't make it back in time to get to our own trailer once before, so we just kind of parked our golf cart alongside of somebody's trailer and just sat it out when that sandstorm came through last time. But same thing, you know, we were going to do that baptism, and there's nothing going to stop us from doing that baptism. Amen. The very next day, they got married. You know, and some of the racetrack weddings that we've done, I don't even know how many weddings we've done. Not enough, okay? Mm-hmm. I've done more funerals than I've done weddings, mm-hmm. You know, which is heartbreaking. But this wedding was well turned out. Mm-hmm. A lot of racers showed up. You know, they timed it properly. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to do it between this class, and about this time of the day, as things start to slow down, they need cool down time, and it's like, okay, whatever works for you guys. And they had it all set up there, and it was a beautiful wedding. And go to the next one. If you look at them all together, you'll note that the bride, you can't really tell, but the bride, the groom, and the groom's son, all wearing Calvary hats. At one time or another, they were all in the cav, the army cav. Not at the same time, not at the same unit, but they all kindred hearts together. And they were all cavalry soldiers. And it was just great, you know, having them there, you know, and to be asked to do their wedding for them. When the race phasing is over, we don't stop. We still continue on. Now we're coming into the, you know, show season, you know, the winter sports, the car shows, and things like that. You know, this one is in Boise, Idaho. That's, you know, coming up in March. And right around your birthday, you're doing this day. Yeah, somewhere right around there. Go to the next one. That's the calm before the storm. You saw the crowds of the people there, but we get to get in there nice bright and early and get all set up and take a deep breath, have a good prayer, and be able to get ready for that. After that, well, that will start in November. As a matter of fact, next month, we will start doing our conventions. We start going around to different conventions for racetracks and organizations that work within our racing industry. We get to talk about Jesus. You know, it's an awesome thing, you know, because at some places we go to, you know, I get the, I don't think we need that here. You know, Canada right now is struggling. Canada, we had, at one time, I think we had 5 or 6 for the entire 3 western provinces of Canada. 5 or 6 chaplains. That was it. After COVID, every one of them, when they showed back up at the racetrack, they said, no, nah, we're going to be doing something different now. Every one of them across the country. Canada doesn't want religion. It is socialism. And we just don't want to bother other people or make them feel different. So that's something we still have to work with because we still have chaplains up there. They're just not invited. It's the whole thing. So we're thankful that we get to still go out and do this, you know, because I do understand that there will come a day, even in this country, when we will not be allowed to do that, when we will not be allowed to go out and preach and profess Jesus, you know, for any of us to do that. But it's still not going to stop us. We also get to go to banquets. I like banquets. Yeah. This is at the NHRA banquet, you know, and we get to go to these different banquets, and most of them, you know, would like an invocation prior to the start of their banquets and their award ceremony. You know, it's not just a, what I want to say, it's not just, okay, check, that's part of our list of things to do. It's that you appreciate it. And I've really noticed, you know, that like even with the Hesches here, you know, are some of our bracket racers, that people do appreciate what we do out there. And they're not all heathens. When we first started, you know, to do this, you know, some of the people at church go, oh yeah, they need that. I go, well, it's not that they need that. We have a lot of good, strong Christian racers out there that didn't have somebody that they could go to. They didn't have a chapel service on Sunday morning. They didn't have their pastor at their track when they wanted somebody. And they do. They want somebody. Every one of these tracks wants somebody. You know, it's just we don't have enough people to give them to everybody. You know, the people often ask me, you know, let's say at the churches, you know, why do you want prayer? I mean, why would they? Why? We're just racing, right? Why do you need prayer? You know, we do invocations. You know, we get to do right before, usually before the eliminations start. You know, we'll have an invocation, a prayer, for in part of the opening ceremonies, and then with the national anthem. And it is so awesome to be standing in front of down the starting line. I love being on the starting line to do the invocations, especially at Boise, because Boise, they do marketing well, and they usually pack the house. You're talking about, I would probably say 40,000 people in the grandstands. and to be down there to maybe introduce somebody to Jesus, to maybe let them know that it's okay to say a prayer in front of everybody. And we enjoy doing that, you know. We do that with the invocations, with the officials. These are the officials before they start off, you know, the weekend. We haven't done that since COVID either. You know, we haven't done this since COVID yet.
That was Yellowstone.
That was pre-COVID, wasn't it? Yeah. And we would get all the officials together, all the track workers, and pray with everybody, because I want Scott to be safe. You know, I want Russ to be safe. You know, I want CJ to be safe. I want them all to be safe. You know, I ask God to watch over their hands, keep their heads on a swivel, to watch for anything that doesn't look right. Help us to be strong, and help us to do our jobs to keep everybody else safe. Kids. You know, because we do the skate church thing, you might get an idea that we like kids. Just saying. But kids, you know, we get to pray with these kids that are running these junior dragsters. You can see them in the background there. You know, they can start now at age 5. You know, I was kind of worried about that. You know, they were eight years old, but now they're doing them at 5 years old. And they have them driving a lot slower, you know, so it's okay. But they'll do that from 5 years old to 18. But 18, you're out. You got to get in the big boy car now. But these kids learn how to drive, and they learn how to drive well. You know, we've known several professional racers that started here. And our grandson raced in juniors with some guys that are now professional pro stock drivers on the circuit. You'll watch them on TV next weekend as he's running for the championship. We get to pray for funny car drivers and the dragster drivers, you know, the big guys. We get to pray for them too. And, okay, funny, not funny. You see where we kind of have to crawl up underneath there to pray, you know, with the driver. I've had probably on 3 different occasions where the crew is, you know, at the fence there. They're watching the other guys run. Okay, you're doing good. They run back to the tow vehicle, jump in the tow vehicle, and take off. I was under the car. No. I've had that happen 3 times. It's like, how fast can you go like that? You know, while somebody's trying to tow you away. You know, now I make it a habit of looking the tow truck driver in the eye and say, don't run me over. Okay, got it. I'll take my hat now and I place it on that front wheel. So there's a visual thing. I'm still under here. Don't take off. The drivers of those funny cars are now going, they grab the brake handle. They'll pump that brake up. Okay, we're ready. And he takes my hand. And we pray, you know, for a good sake. I don't pray for them to win. I want all of them to win. I can't. Oh, I made the mistake of rooting for somebody once. I was so happy. You know, I'm happy whenever anybody wins. And it's like, yeah, this guy just won. He's got the championship. He did a great job. And the other team turned around looking like. So now, I rarely watch the races because I don't want to do that. You know, because I'm happy for everybody. And they understood that too, but it's still like, you know, I was brokenhearted about that. But, and then these guys, okay, you figure in the top category, the nitro cars, they'll be doing 338 miles an hour in 3.6 seconds. That's pretty fast. I mean, it's all at once, you know. I've had some drivers, you know, when I'm holding onto their hand, they're literally, their hands are shaking. I'm thinking, dude, you should not be in this car. If you're afraid, you should not be driving that car. But you got to understand on that level that it's not if, it's when. It's not if. They're gonna blow up. They do it every single week. They blow up. You know, and it's, think about you taking your foot and go. Is it gonna go down or not? Mm-hmm. Every single week. And they do that all weekend long. You know, so they want a prayer. They want a prayer when that happens. And that's why we have so many of the different safety things. We get to have fun with a lot of our friends at the racetrack. This was just the last race there at Boise again. You know, it, I wish I could show you all the other slides that I took, you know, for the Halloween Classic in Boise. Everybody decorates their trailers, their cars, their pit area. It's so cool. It's so fun. They shut the racing down at a certain time on Saturday night. The kids all come in, and it is wall-to-wall kids. The parking lot is absolutely packed, and they all go treat from trailer to trailer. We went through 5 bags of candy, you know, just sitting on the back of our golf cart. But we get to see a lot of our friends and have a good time with them. Again, too, I get to go sit in somebody's car. We get, you know, a lot of friends, you know, one of the guys said that, talked to him, he goes, I go, I want to put my little Snoopy doll. This year was Snoopy's year to travel with us, by the way. I got a lot of pictures of Snoopy, you know, all over the place. And I said, I wanted to put Snoopy on his blower. Do you think that'd be okay? He goes, why don't you climb in the car? I go, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You know, gotten a little claustrophobic at my old age. And he goes, it's plenty of room in here. He says, I'm a big guy. He goes, okay. And I sat down inside there, and he took my picture. And I said, oh, I like this. Can I try this sometime? Huh? Okay, come. No. She says, no. The insurance isn't enough. Sorry. But we get to meet a lot of new people, even in truck stops. You know, this is a rest area somewhere in Montana.
No, that was Baker City.
Baker City? Baker. Okay, Baker City. I know we were. There's so many of them.
Notice the name on the truck.
Notice the name on the truck. I had to get a picture of the name on the truck. Hey, that's my truck. What are you doing? And, of course, the dogs. And Linda. Rub my tummy. She gets more puppy love, you know, sitting in the golf cart with all the dogs. They climb up, and I'm talking big dogs. They climb up on her lap and go, because they know that, hey, golf cart, we get to go, we get to go bye-bye. So they climb in there.
What about our trailer?
And what about our trailer?
That is green.
It's green, yeah. It is green. We had that made green. I ordered it with that siding. And everybody goes, why? I go, I want to be seen. We've driven in snowstorms, sandstorms, fog, way late in the night, you know, so I want no excuses that you didn't see me. You know, I'm bright, I'm visible. Also, a good part is when we're at the racetrack, you know where the chaplain's at. I've had so many people say, see, is this for sure? I mean, I've had people go, hey, Martin's here. Martin and Linda are here. Yep, they just pulled in. We see them. And they come on over. I get parked and haven't even gotten things set up yet. And people are driving over to see us. There's a lot of great people that we get to see. This is our crew at the national event. It takes a crew. It takes a team to be able to do what we do. You know, this isn't a me and Linda thing. You know, it takes a team to be able to cover all these different racetracks. And at the national events, you know, we are allowed to so many people, and we're allowed to have so many people at the track to be out there and be around everybody to talk to people, you know. And I oversee 30 other chaplains within our region. You know, we cover Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, the 3 western provinces of Canada, and Alaska. Now, the only place we haven't been is Saskatchewan. So we haven't been to the furthest province of Canada. But we've been, is we don't have anybody there?
Been close.
We've been within a couple of miles. But we've been to all the other places, you know, and it's a lot of space to cover for only 30 people, you know. That we need more. That's why I'm here, too. It's because I want to invite you to maybe check this out, see if you want to do it. That's your welcome. This is where it all started. That's my dragster, by the way. Stepped out of it 15 years ago, so it must have been about 21 years ago that we were racing at Pacific Raceway, and they were going to start racing on Sunday's day, the bracket series. And I asked the track manager, and I said, you know, if we're going to race on Sundays, would you mind if I, you know, offer a chapel service or something, you know, a Bible study? And the guy says, sure. Well, why don't you check with Racers for Christ and align yourself with them? And that's when I joined up with them. About 15 years ago, I parked the car because I don't have time to go racing anymore, you know. And quite frankly, I'm having a lot more fun doing what I'm doing now than being frustrated in a race car. But this was a few weeks ago. We've been out twice at the end of the season. We got the car back together so that I could sell it. You know, it's not doing me any good just sitting there. So we were still working on some things as we've been out a couple times. And you know, now we can turn around and sell it. You know, so we can just focus on what we're doing. That's it. So, kids, if you want to head on back, head on back. Now's a good time. And by the way, it'll be a short one back there, guys, but
okay, I'll let her know.
They'll let you know. You know, it is so much fun to do what we're doing. And I'm going to start off this like I would normally start one of my chapel services. You know, back there at the table, you'll see a lot of things. Everything's for free. You know, just please help yourself. And I'll put an offering bucket up there if you want to donate. Team RFC updates. They come out about twice, three times a year sometimes. But it's an update that tells us what's going on. Pat, you getting this? Okay. Want to make sure. They'll either mail it to you or email it to you, whichever you prefer. The choice is yours. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. If you'd like to do that, there's a card where you put your information. There's a little block on it. It's hard to see, but it asks you, do you want an email or do you want a regular snail mail too? And it talks about what Racers for Christ does, what we're doing and everything. So, you know, if you want one of those, they're free. We also have on this card, it's a prayer request too, down at the bottom. If you have some prayers that you want us to share, you know, within our circle of where we're at now, we're at like about 400 chaplains nationwide.
Probably
over 300 chaplains nationwide, worldwide. I keep saying nationwide because we are in.
Just say
several other countries. Some other countries. But, you know, please feel free to join us. And, of course, you will get the, every now and then, letters in the mail saying, would you please support us? You know, there's, you know, what's going on. But feel free to go ahead and take one of those with you. With that, let's open this with a prayer. Lord, I thank you so very much. You give us these opportunities to share what we do, to be able to open our Bible, to read your word, and to hear what you have to say to us. Today is just a short little message, but it is impactful. And we thank you for that opportunity, Lord. We thank you for the lives that we touch, and we're thankful for the friendships that we have. This is all for your glory. And I thank you that you allow me to do this. Move me out of the way so that they hear your word. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have anybody ever read Proverbs 27:17? It's a real short verse. It's one sentence. But it's a good sentence. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's a really short verse. You know, it kind of makes your mind wander. You know, when I was thinking about what I was going to do, you know, I was watching our fire in the fireplace as it slowly died down, and there's just one coal left. And, you know, you've probably heard about how that coal, if it's not with others, it slowly dies. And that's what, you know, same thing here. You know, that's what it's all about. By the way, honey, you need to go to the back now. She doesn't allow me to play with sharp objects. Trust me, it's a long story. I'll be slow and careful. Have you done that before, guys?
Yeah.
Well, she does not. It does. It sharpens it. You know, and that's when you have good people with you to help sharpen it. So that you know. But you know, there's also the other side of that. When you're with a bunch of dummies, that affects you too. That can just unsharpen you just as fast as you can sharpen it, if not faster. And you know, that's the world that we live in today. You know, that's the world we live in. And it's a place that we work in, right, Ed? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they can really pull you down. You know, they really pull you down. But it's being around people like-minded that give us strength, that encouragement, and everything else that we need in life. Mental sharpness comes from being around good people and having someone who can help us stimulate, encourage, and strengthen our mind. Someone who focuses on our ideas about God, our ideas about serving Jesus. Somebody who's willing to challenge somebody else without our egos getting in our way, trying to be, I know more than you do about the Bible. So, no, it's to strengthen one another. Trust me, I know many kids that are probably stronger in the Bible than I am. What about those kids that are being able to do all those verses? You know, the verse challenges are going on right now. That is so awesome. I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to say, this verse says that. I'm sorry, my mind doesn't work like that. But I can tell you the different stories. I can tell you the different verses. I don't know the address, as we say. But it's awesome. Everybody else has a different way to do things. You know, and being strong, being guided, you know, it's what we need so terribly much in this world. J. Vernon McGee, have any of you heard of him? He's a narrator, old school narrator, you know, about the Bible. And he wrote, "It is a wonderful thing to have a friend with whom you can sharpen your mind. You can discuss certain things with him with real profit. I used to have such a friend, and we could sit down and talk about spiritual matters. I always came away refreshed, strengthened, and I always learned something. It is wonderful to have a friend like that." You know that? Guys, especially, you know that? You know, when I read that, I was thinking, a friend, he had one. And I was thinking, well, that's sad. But then it's like, okay, that friend could have been with him for a long time too. You know, I'm thinking, What strengthening person do I have in my life? You know, it's what man can help strengthen me as a man. You know, in my life. Well, I've had two really strong pastors in my life that have led me through even the decision-making process to start doing what we're doing now. You know, Pastor Phillips, you know, had guided us through the beginning steps of this, and he said, "Well, because we have to go to our pastor before we can go do this. You know, all of our applicants, you know, have to fill out a lot of pages, background checks, and everything else. And it's not just a simple process. You got to be serious about it." But he says, "You know, make sure that you don't look too busy." "What do you mean, don't look too busy? I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off." "You need to settle down. Don't look too busy because you're not going to want to be disturbed. They don't want to talk to you if you're too busy running around." I have to keep telling myself, slow down. You know, it's hard to think, you know, when you think you're the only guy out there and you've got to be everywhere. "I can't be everywhere." So old age is telling me you can't be everywhere. You know, you have to slow down. And guess what? People come to you. Nice part about, you know, when we started doing the director's position, we've been doing director's position now for 16 years. Well, not the director's, but we've been doing the NHRA portion of that for 16 years. The director's position came a little bit later. But we've been doing it a lot, and when I was asked to do that, I go, "I can't do it alone," because I watched the other chaplain, Elvin Kaufman, who was my mentor. You know, he did a lot of work. He does a lot of stuff. I said, "I can't do it as well as he does by myself." I asked Linda, I go, "We'll only do this as long as you can do it with me." And she does. Yeah, her health doesn't allow her to go running through the lanes and stuff like I do. But she's there. She's parked in the golf cart, you know, in the lanes. I'll look over from time to time, once every hour or so. And she's going. You know, somebody's sitting over there talking with her. You know, then she comes back and she tells me, "You need to talk to so-and-so. You know, they're having a little problem issues. You know, you need to go see this person." You know, or, "Hey, so-and-so just had a new grandbaby," or whatever the case may be. You know, so she makes me look good. Trust me, it's a team. It is a team. She does a lot of work, you know, at the larger events by making copies, schedules. She makes copies of the schedules and the run orders for what the racers going to be doing, you know. And while she's there, racers talk. They don't see. "Yeah, we didn't know that, did you, Stacy?" And she'll be sitting behind the board where everything's posted, and she goes, "You need to go see so-and-so." You know, they're having a really bad time. Okay, and I just kind of mosey on over. "How's it going?" "Oh, I'm glad you're here. That's great." I look so good. But it's not me. It's her. You know, but, you know, I look at, you know, the friends that I've had sharpening me along the way, and it gave me a lot of strength. You know, right now, you know, we're in between things where, you know, it's basically being sharpened by the other men in the church, you know, which I'm not here all that much. You know, that's why it's so good to come home, sit in the back, and enjoy a church service. Enjoy a roof. You know, be out of the wind, be out of the rain. We have been in monsoons. "Well, we're not racing, so we'll all go hang out with the chaplain because there's a picnic gazebo." "Oh, hey, great. Why you guys are here?" God provides water running that deep under our feet.
Spokane.
Spokane, yeah. She knows all these places I'm thinking, talking about. just water running. I mean, people sitting up on top of the picnic benches.
Montana.
Yeah.
Lightning storm.
Yeah, Montana. We're standing outside, and it's like, I see a big, nasty cloud. You can see them coming in Montana. It's like, so I talked really, really fast. And they were, oh, man. As soon as I said, oh, man, the skies opened up. People couldn't scatter fast enough. I couldn't grab my books. Like, by the way, I was using the PA system. Yelled, somebody, unplug it quick, because you're lightning all over the place. Unplugged that thing. I took the PA system, turned it upside down, and dumped the water out of it. I'm going, this thing's junk. I know it. It works fine. It was just a baptism. That's all it was. But our trailer was covered with Bibles and literature being dried out all over the place. But that's the many stories that we get to do. It's so good. All the different beer gardens that you get to be in. You know, I have a lot of pictures. You know, I got 760 some odd pictures I went through just to get those 18 pictures. You know, I go, no, I don't know what I said. But I got pictures with the cross sitting right in front of the Budweiser tap. Perfect place to be. Where else would you do it, right?
Yeah.
You got plenty of people there. But you see, iron sharpens iron. And if you hang around the hammer too terribly much, you know, it drags you down. That's why it's good to come home, to be able to talk with others. I have our leadership, you know, Ken Webb, my boss, you know, from time to time we get to call back and forth, you know, he'll text me, how you doing? It's terrible, you know. I'm frustrated with this or frustrated with that. We talk about it and strengthen each other, pick each other up, you know. I don't know where I would be without somebody else to work with us, to conquer this battle together. And I'm not talking about just my wife either, because I couldn't even start without her. You know, there's my rock right there. And then the other guys are what make me stronger and sharper and be able to come up with whatever I need to do. That's what this Bible, this verse is a short little verse. Not much to it. I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to do that? How are you going to make a story out of one sentence? There's a lot to be said for that one sentence. Because you can all think about the times in your life, you know, where it's like, I'm tired. I'm done. I want to go home. How many times have we said that? I think the closer we get to this age, we keep saying it a lot too. I want to go home. Because I know where home is. And I'm looking forward to it. But he says too, let's not hasten that day. I've got a job for you to do. Get out there and do it. And that's what he does. So many times, you know, there has been things that we refer to as a God thing. You know, stopping in that rest area, doing that baptism, you know, having everything that we need to do a baptism there.
And it was warm.
And the water was warm too. Yeah. It was awesome. And one of the guys was saying, goes, yeah, you're just lying up, water could be warm. Because she said, oh, it's great. He wants to put his hand in there and goes, well, the water's warm. I'm no dummy. Like I said, I put a black cloth over it and sat there all day long.
Yeah, but in the past it's also been very cold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, it was like 30 some odd degrees at night. So it was like, hopefully it'll be still warm.
And 2 days before you did wear your long cloth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That's the thing about what we do. We started off the day wearing long johns, and by noon you got shorts on. Take it all with you. Why do you have a big trailer? Take it all with you. Having the people and the resources to do that, you know, in your life, help you through the tough times, help you to enjoy the good times, That's what it's all about. Somebody to strengthen you. We all need somebody to strengthen us, to lift us up, whether it's our wife, whether it's your husband, whatever the case may be. You know. But let's not forget the strengthening that we need ecumenically, you know, about God, who strengthens us, who challenges you. Does somebody challenge you? Eric, does somebody challenge you? You know? Who challenges you? Randy, who challenges you? You know? That's just it. Who challenges you? Think about that. That's it. Well, still went to 12 o'clock. So, that's it. Well, thank you for that. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so very much. You challenge us a lot. You put us under great pressure, and you also help us through it. You guide us. You hold our hands. You say, I can take you through this. You walked with the three. You made four walking through the furnace. You're there every step of the way that we have on this planet. And I thank you for that. I thank you for guiding us. I thank you for sustaining us. I thank you for leading us to new adventures throughout our lives. And I thank you so much for this beautiful day that we have to worship you and enjoy the day that you made. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless everyone today and keep them safe as they're traveling home. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.